Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Sense right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back, of course, Alistair Milroy of Breaking the Mold Accounting. Welcome.
Hi, Rhea. How are you?
Good, thanks. And we have a special guest today. She is a lawyer, and her name is Carrie Letissier. She's a Guernsey lawyer, actually, with her own firm. And I'm going to hand it over to Alistair, and he is going to be the one that takes it from here.
It's great to have you on Talking Sense, Carrie.
And, thanks, Alistair. Good to be here.
Yeah, we've sort of followed each other's progress, I guess, since going into our own businesses over the last couple of years, and which has been fantastic. But so can you tell us a little bit more about how you, your background, and I know it's Guernsey lawyers, but they're actually in advocates in Guernsey, and they have their own peculiarities as well.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm a Guernsey lawyer, and as you just said, that we're advocates. So to be a lawyer here, you have to qualify as an English lawyer first. So I'm an English solicitor, but I don't practice English law. And then you have to do a bit of extra training in Guernsey and in France to qualify here, which involved attending lectures in French with French students and then French oral exams, which was quite interesting. But that was all quite a few years ago now. So I've been qualified in Guernsey. I've been practicing here since I left uni in 2001. I've been working in law in Guernsey, worked in various different types of law firms, worked in some very big offshore law firms. I worked for a couple of years in Australia just before the pandemic. And during the last few years, I thought about setting up my own practice. I spoke to other business owners, other law firms that I knew that had been set up by people that I'd worked with before, smaller law firms that were just doing things a bit differently, had a bit more flexibility because they were small practices and not part of a big group, started thinking about working a bit differently, being able to work remotely, using different types of legal tech for how I work. And I thought about setting up quite seriously a few years ago, then parked the idea for various reasons. Then I think the pandemic, like with lots of people, it kind of spurred them on a bit to make some changes in their lives, to think about different ways of working. And then at that point, I was a partner in another law firm in Guernsey, but that's part of a group. And I just thought, now's the time. There's lots of businesses. People are setting up new businesses all the time in lots of different industries and sectors. There are lots of changes in the legal industry in the UK at the moment, lots of different types of law firms setting up. It was the same in Australia when I was there. And I just thought, I'm gonna bite the bullet, set up on my own. I've got some great ideas about how I want to work, the way I want to practice, the way I want to build my practice. And so that was last March 2021. So I'm just over a year old now. And yeah, it's all going really well. So really glad that I did it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I can imagine there's a bit of trepidation as you take that step and also excitement as well. And it frees you from some of the sort of more corporate type restrictions that you have in terms of maybe working differently and the way you decide to build.
Yeah.
And the technology you can use as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I can look at new technology, and I'm completely cloud-based, so I use cloud-based technology. I've got a legal practice management system that's all in the cloud, and it's a very forward-thinking company that have built this technology. And the tech integrates with lots of other things. So I use Xero for my accounts, which has just been brilliant. That talks to my system, so it's just really efficient way of working, so I can work remotely. At the moment, I work from a home office. I'm moving into a serviced office shortly, but when I go away, I really like traveling, and now we can travel more. I like going on holiday a lot, or traveling to France a lot, because France is very close to Guernsey, so it's just really easy to get there. So I can just work from anywhere, the way I've set things up.
Yeah, that's one of the big shifts that I've seen in moving, particularly out of a more of a corporate service provider background, where the software was very enterprise-based, server-based. It was quite restrictive, trying to get connections between or different software to talk to each other was often not easy to do. And in this sort of cloud environment, and I think the pandemic's accelerated this by quite quickly for a few years, but you know, those firms, the professional firms that were cloud-based and had that technology, were able to support their clients in a lot better way than more traditional firms. And there's been a real shift in terms of how quickly those plugins. I'm certainly seeing a lot more in the law space, as in the accounting and the professional space, in terms of those applications. In terms of your client base, you obviously help a lot of corporate service providers and the people who would own asset structuring companies or run
exactly. I do a lot of work with trustees, professional trust companies, and high net worth individuals and business owners as well. So my practice area, I say private wealth, and that's quite a broad term that captures anything to do with someone's private wealth, which could be their asset structures, their businesses, and their private family wealth. So I deal with a lot of corporate service providers, mostly based in Guernsey, but I deal with some in Switzerland, and I've got a client in New Zealand as well, actually. And they look after asset structures, so trusts, foundations, corporate entities, companies that have been set up to hold private wealth. In Guernsey, we have a few other types of structures that might be lesser known. We have a private investment fund structure, which is perfect for family wealth as a way of structuring family wealth. We have protected sale companies, which are used for asset holding. And with those types of structures, you can separate different types of assets. So you can segregate asset liability risk into separate cells. So it's perfect where you've got different types of assets like yachts, real property, cash, so on.
Yeah, they're actually used a lot in you see them a lot for employment companies and yachting, and a lot of those employment companies will have cells for each of the yacht owners. You're not replicating the whole employment structure every time you employ a new yacht crew. You can do that and ring fence it in either an ICC or a PCC. So a lot of people in the audience, I think, will have seen that either on their employment contracts or what's called a seafarer's employment agreement.
That's interesting. There are service providers in Guernsey and elsewhere in other offshore jurisdictions that specialise in those types of structures that are very familiar with the employee side and the payroll and those types of structures that are quite specialist.
Yeah, it's quite a where you've got companies who have a lot of international employees. It can make a lot of sense to have that in a tax neutral jurisdiction such as Guernsey, which exactly. I guess leads me into a question is I'd like a lot of people, I'm sure you have it as well, when you mention you're in the Channel Islands or Guernsey, it's like, oh, that's a tax haven.
I know.
And so maybe we could just cover that, actually. Why is it that high net worth individuals use, you know, Guernsey and Jersey and the other jurisdictions?
I think the tax haven label is unfair, and I would say that obviously being in Guernsey, but it's really not just about the tax anymore. So I mean, tax can come into it, and one of the first things I say to a new client is, have you had tax advice? Because the last thing you want to do is set up something that might make your tax position worse. But that there's lots of other reasons. So succession planning is a big reason for setting up a structure like a trust or a corporate vehicle, that it means that you put your assets into another structure. They're not within your personal ownership anymore. And there are ways to make sure you can still have some kind of control and decision making powers. But it can help with succession planning with the future, with if you want to, you know, give your children an interest in an asset, but you want to have some control over when that happens. You might want to provide benefits whilst you're still alive. If you hold on to your assets and they're in your own name, then when you die, they're dealt with under your will, or if you haven't left a will, they'll be dealt with under intestacy rules. There are rules in different, depending on where you live, that might dictate where your assets go. But by putting them in a structure now, you can have some control over who ultimately benefits, and you can allow people to benefit or share the ownership whilst you're alive, and you can make those kind of decisions. So succession planning is a big reason. Asset protection is another big reason. So again, when you put an asset into a structure, it goes out of your personal ownership, and that might give you some, will give you some protection from creditors and in, say, divorce proceedings. And I have that kind of might qualification that obviously you can't be doing anything to that's fraudulent, so you can't use an offshore structure like that to commit fraud. But
Or move it out, as you know, I'm going into marital problems, so to protect it at that point. But if you structure it first, it gives you, and I guess for a lot of these high net worth families and people who own yachts are generally in that would be categorized as such. You know, you're dealing with families that are potentially in different jurisdictions internationally. So different family members might be using an asset from the US or from Europe or Asia, wherever it might be. And with that, you know, having your asset holding structure in one place and being able to manage that just makes the whole operation a lot.
That's a really good point. And that's quite an obvious point that's often overlooked when we talk about tax and succession planning and so on. But sometimes it's just more convenient to have all your assets in one structure that's looked after by somebody else, that the corporate service provider that looks after your structure will deal with all the paperwork, all the registrations, payments, accounts and so on, all of that. There's an awful lot of administration that comes with owning a lot of assets in different jurisdictions, and that can be very complex. And actually just having it in a structure that's looked after by somebody else is a huge weight off minds in a lot of cases.
Definitely. And so in terms of that, actually, what would you, because I think a lot of people don't really understand the process it needs to go through, and it can be quite dry, but actually for someone wanting to set up a structure in Guernsey, or what are the key things they need to think about in terms of getting that structure ready, and also the information that they're going to need to hand over? Because I think a lot of people are surprised how onerous that can be in terms of the, and more so now we've had the situation with certainly and very, you know, a lot of press around the Russian yacht owners particularly have taken a lot of press, even though it's quite a small percentage of the overall yacht owning community, which is very much dominated by North Americans.
I mean, the first things to think about are exactly what you want to achieve. So, you know, setting up an offshore structure like a trust or so on, there's so many possibilities. There's lots of different types of structures, and generally the law is very flexible. So the first thing to do is work out exactly what you want, because pretty much whatever you want can be catered for. But rather than going the other way and saying, right, I want a trust because somebody's told me I should have a trust, or a friend's got a trust, that's what I should have, I would say start the other way. Work out exactly what you want, what assets you want to put into the structure, where they are, who you want to benefit and how you want them to benefit. Then get some advice, get professional advice, speak to a lawyer, I would say that, but speaking to a lawyer at an early stage, because then they can give you advice on what all the different options are. People often will do some Google searches or speak to a couple of people and think, well, this is the type of structure I have to have, this is what's available. And quite often they're not fully aware of what's possible or what all the variations are that are available to them. getting tax advice as well. Getting tax advice in the place where you're resident is a good place to start, because there'll be different tax consequences from setting up a structure, which might actually dictate what you want to do and whether or not it's even feasible, or whether or not a trust does work, because the trust might not work for everybody. In some cases, a company, quite a simple company structure might just be all they need. Looking at jurisdictions, so obviously I can speak for Guernsey, and there are lots of benefits of in Guernsey that our legislation's flexible. We've got a lot of experience in finance and wealth structuring and wealth preservation. There are a lot of experts here, and similarly in other offshore jurisdictions. So Jersey, our sister island, very similar. But looking at where you want to set up this structure, and you want all of those things, you want the flexibility, you also want to look at somewhere that's politically stable, that's well regulated. Time zone might be a relevant consideration as well. If you need to deal with service providers, you might want someone that's in a relatively similar time zone. Just coming back to your point about the kind of information that would be needed, and that overlaps with the point I just made about looking at a well-regulated jurisdiction. So that's one of the many benefits of using somewhere like Guernsey. It's very well regulated. We've got very good reputation. The service providers are well regulated, as are the lawyers. We're regulated for anti-money laundering purposes, so are accountants. That comes with the price that we do need a lot of information. We need to really understand what we're doing, what we're helping you set up, what the background is, what the assets are, who you are. So it does mean we end up asking a lot of questions. We need information about your identity, your source of wealth, and so on. But really, if you're building a good relationship with service providers, that's part of the getting to know each other anyway. And for a service provider to provide a good service and to be able to really understand your needs and your family's needs or your business needs, they need a lot of this information anyway. So it is knowing your client in that sense, as well as the anti-money laundering regulatory side.
It's very much about building trust with your client or the family that you're dealing with. I think that's right. Definitely in the yacht side, I sort of either see people who want to be, because it's a very personal asset, they want to be quite involved with that. And, or, you know, they see it as their yacht rather than a corporate yacht. Mm-hmm. So sort of understanding where that corporate boundary is and what the director's duties are and what they need to deal with, understanding what the company's responsibility is for the yacht and the type of information that they need to prepare. Obviously, from most of the corporate law requires accounts to be kept and to sort of have a financial state of the company available. Those sort of things are really important for in building those relationships with your professional advisors.
That's really important. And so you can look around as well. There's lots of options for service providers. There's lots of different types of service providers. There's very big ones, there's smaller boutique ones, there are different types of service providers. So it's worth speaking to a few to get a sense of how they work, how they deal with their client relationships, if it's going to be what you want. Because if you're looking for a very kind of personal relationship, you need to really connect with that person before you decide to place all that trust in them and let them look after your assets, your personal assets, that, like you say, that you'll still see as yours. That's your baby. That's yours. You worked very hard to be able to own it or create a business or so on. You need to really trust the person that you're handing that over to. So it's worth speaking to a few different service providers before making a decision.
Yeah, that's and actually we talked about getting advice, and I think there's a lot of emphasis on taking advice at the start of setting up a structure, but and sometimes as that structure goes on, people don't or forget about what that initial advice was, and they're running something and they want to do things in a different way, or and it's just as you know it's always important to talk to your advisors regularly and revisit and also make sure that whatever advice you took at the outset, whether that be your tax or legal advice, is the way that's implemented in the administration is understood and it is consistent with that, because that's it definitely an area which can get into deeper waters if you don't follow that advice, and it's over time you have creep away from it.
And your professional advisors, if you work with a professional advisor closely, they'll be aware of that, and your service provider should be looking at that and coming back to the reason why you set it up in the first place and what your professional advice was. But it's an ongoing dialogue. You need that there'll be a good professional service provider, should be corporate service provider, should be in regular contact with you, so there shouldn't be surprises. But again, it comes back to that point about trust and relationship. That's how relationships work.
We often see things with yachts, particularly where there's other assets like art could get involved, and because it's moving from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, those the things become very pertinent in terms of different, because there's different taxes and different wealth taxes on particularly things like fine art, which can be on yachts, as well as the operation of the yacht itself. As they move around, it's important to be keeping everybody aware before the case. So just switching through to your own business, you said you're very cloud-based, you use Xero. The benefits of that have been, and the benefits of sort of keeping that in the cloud have really been sort of efficiency, or
efficiency. It's affordable. So when I started looking at different software that I could use as my basic practice management system, so how I open my client files, how I store documents, and so on, some of the systems around are very, very big, very, very expensive, designed for very big law firms. But as a sole practitioner at the moment, and as a small business, my plan is to grow into a small firm of say 4 or 5 lawyers, but I don't need the big system. And at the same time, I found that there's the system I use is called Clio. It's designed for small businesses, small law firms, and it's been built with that in mind, with the efficiency. It's affordable. It's very affordable, and it's scalable, so I can quite easily add other lawyers, and the fact that it integrated with Xero and OneDrive and lots of other applications has just been
so you're not having to duplicate your client information. That's
exactly
very much, if once you put it in one place, it flows through to the other.
You're
accounting and stuff, and just keeps that very quick.
Brilliant. It works so well. Yeah,
and I know, just to wrap up, you're getting to grips with LinkedIn, and how have you found that as a way of building your own brand? And
the LinkedIn's been brilliant for me. I've used it in the past, but only kind of as a representative of my law firm, and been very corporate-y. But it's been an eye-opener the last year or so, using it for personal branding, building relationships, networking, and it takes a mindset shift to use it in that way, and you've got to be quite confident with it, but it's been invaluable to me. I've met some other lawyers and other people setting up their own businesses. I've met all sorts of people, and I've also got some work out of it, clients that have found me through LinkedIn that may not have found me otherwise. So I'm now a big fan of LinkedIn.
The fantastic reach that you get, which you probably can't do if you weren't on it, particularly over the last year, with getting on a plane every week, and you just never be able to reach that many. That's a wider audience.
Yeah, and someone I know this morning made that point about even attending a networking event in person. You tend to speak to somebody one-on-one or a small group of you, but whereas on LinkedIn, you can say something that maybe thousands of people would see. It doesn't replace meeting people in person, but it's definitely a good alternative and an additional way of networking.
Fantastic. Kerry, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on today and talk about
this. Thank you.
Wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you so much.
Great watching. And I know I've had similar thoughts and issue and discussions around everything from technology to marketing. And there's so much more to starting a professional business yourself than working for a big firm, where there's probably a lot of things that you take for granted that happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Around you. So, I wish you all the best for the future, and we'll keep in touch in Guernsey.
Yes, for sure. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Mia.
Thank you. Actually, it's been a very, very informative session for me, and it's really nice that I didn't have to do any talking this time. Always makes
Thanks,
me happy.
Ria.
Once again, you have been listening to Kerry Leticia. She is a lawyer in Guernsey, and of course, Alistair Milroy from Breaking the Mold Accounting. My name is Ria. I have been sort of your host. We'll see you again next time.